KOA Radio 104.1 FM would like to welcome you to Windows into Wimberley. I'm your host, Erica Clapp. Each week, I sit down with a guest or two and discuss changes, events, and happenings in and around your town. These conversations are designed to provide the community with insight and information on a wide range of topics that are specific to the Wimberley area. Join me for a look at the windows into Wimberley. Today I'm here with Sean Cox, the city administrator of Wimberley, and we're going to be discussing a couple of things ranging from the wastewater project and some of the still flood damaged homes and some of the FEMA things that are going on. Welcome, Sean. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So you and I have already discussed a little bit, but how long have you been the city administrator here in Wimberley?
I've officially been the city administrator for just over 2 months. I started at the end of February of 2018, and it is now into April, so steady she goes.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you here, and thank you for joining me again. So the first thing I want to talk about is the wastewater project. And when you took over, what was the status of that project?
The status of the project, they had awarded the contracts to the two contractors constructing the two separate parts of the project, the collection lines and the wastewater treatment plant, and they were getting ready to have their first kickoff meeting with those contractors. That was actually the first meeting with the contractors I had had, where we talked about here's how we're going to start scheduling, here's how we're going to start construction, and it was through its bid phase, design phase, and getting ready to start turning dirt phase.
Okay, awesome. Speaking of turning dirt, you know, I was looking over the schedule last night, and for the plant construction, the schedule says that by the end of April, which is, you know, coming up here pretty quick, that we should be in the phase where they're clearing the site and getting through all that. How is that going? Are we about there?
We are there. They have, Black Castle is our contractor there, and it's actually being built near Blue Hole Park. They've done a lot of site work and grading, preparing the site for the plant, which is being constructed. It's constructed off-site and then kind of shipped in pieces to us. And so they're doing a lot of what we call pad work. And they've got, if you look out there, you'll see that there's gravel or base that's been put down for where that plant's going to go.
Okay. You mentioned it was by Blue Hole Park. So how is this going to affect the park area itself?
It is strategically located in a part of Blue Hole that is separately removed. It's off near the side, closer to 3237, so it's got easy access. We're not anticipating, you know, being very impactful on the park at all with regards to construction. There are some trails we've had to relocate, and that has been done, and there are originally, this 1. Something acres of land was a part of the park. We exchanged a portion of land we had in the park for this 1.1 acres, and we gave them 3 acres that we're currently using for our current plant. And so that's been switched over. That will now be usable space for the park, and we'll have this. Day-to-day operations, I don't expect any significant impact on the park. It's removed, and we'll keep people updated as it goes, but so far it's all gone very smoothly.
Awesome. That's wonderful. So in our conversation before we started recording, you had mentioned that once the water is treated, it's going to be used for irrigation in the park area, or what can you tell me about that?
The plan, we do have what's called a discharge permit from the TCEQ. It is not the city's intent to ever have to discharge. It is just the type of permit we applied for. The intent of the plant is to treat the water. It's going to be type 1 effluent. It's going to be treated UV, all kinds of great treatments that will, it'll be the cleanest type of wastewater effluent that you can produce.
Okay.
And that will be used to irrigate a large portion of Blue Hole Park. So if you've ever been out there, you've seen our soccer fields. They get irrigated now whenever nature decides to irrigate it. So we're going to be utilizing this to green up those fields and make it a really wonderful attribute for the city.
Awesome. And the TCEQ, that's the Texas
Center for Environmental Quality.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So the plant is set to open and start up November 9th. Is that accurate? I believe that's what I read.
The schedule probably calls for the plant to be tested November 9th. It will. The entire system will not be up and running until 2019.
Okay.
When the collection lines are completed. Now, that is based on the schedule as it is now. If we get some rain days or some significant delays, that may change the date here, but we'll continue to update our schedule on our website.
Awesome. What is that website, just for those who are listening?
Website for the City of Wimberley is cityofwimberley.com.
I have spent quite a bit of time there researching this. You guys have a lot of great information on the website.
We have a lot of information, that is true. There's information we're required to have on there from some agreements, and we're trying to be very strategic where we place things. And if anybody has any suggestions on information that we don't have on there, let us know. We want to make sure we give everybody the information they're looking for.
So once they start putting in these collection lines, which isn't scheduled to happen until later this year, early next year, I believe.
The first phase of it is scheduled to start near the end of April, beginning of May.
Okay.
There are properties we'll be utilizing that have been kind enough to grant us easements that have events and programming that goes on starting in the summer months during the holidays from Memorial Day through about Labor Day. And we're working to get those portions down closer by the river completed before that.
So we don't
impact the businesses negatively. But that's supposed to start here at the end of April, early part of May, and then they will continue to work their way up through the city and the square area as it goes. We do have on our website the schedule and a presentation we gave at our kickoff meeting that may go into a little bit more detail on when we'll be in what specific. They've categorized it by line, so line A, B, C, and so on. So we've broken it down when we'll be working on line A and B and C.
Okay. That's great. How do you think overall those construction times are going to affect the citizens in the area? And is it going to affect drive times? Is it going to affect...
We've worked very closely, and our contractors are working very closely with us to be as least impactful on the residents as we can. I'm not going to say there's not going to be any impact. We will have to do a traffic plan for TxDOT because some of our work will take place on TxDOT. It's not our intent to shut down the road. There may be some slight delays as you let one car pass to let another car go by, but they'll be working to keep that as smooth as possible. When we get into the square area, the key focal point of the downtown area, we will have our contractors working at night. So they'll be digging and covering as they go. So what that means is when they dig a hole and lay the pipe in, they cover it before they move on to the next section.
Oh, wonderful.
That means we won't have any open holes, at the end of the day. But they will be working at night to accommodate those square areas. And in talking with them, we're trying to, that's scheduled for late summer, which is the hottest time of the year here. And in our brief conversations with the merchants there, that's the best time for them because that's when they're, for lack of a better term, the slowest in their visitors. So.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys have really put a lot of thought into that, which I think everybody can appreciate. That's great.
Not to give me any more credit, that was all done prior to me getting here, and our project managers and contractors and council have done a good job scheduling this event.
Awesome.
This contract.
I mean, it does sound like it's going to take a while, but, I think the benefits from it are going to be pretty great. So, I mean, what exactly are those benefits?
So, right now, every business in the area, it currently runs on septic, which limits the amount of people you can have there. It limits the land you can use because septic requires drain fields to be installed, which you can't build on at that point. This will provide the businesses there with the opportunity to grow as they need to. The plant we're installing will handle approximately 75,000 gallons per day. It is not our intention that that's going to happen day one. If we do 30 a day, I think I'd be surprised. There's not that much going into it right now. But it will, we've had some concerns about runoff or discharge into the creek. It's our goal to minimize, if not completely keep that from happening. And so we have that with septic systems now. We've gotten reports from the state and the TCEQ saying there are things in the creek which we want to make sure we take care of. And that will help us to do this. Will help us to do that.
Awesome, great. That sounds pretty. I mean, thinking ahead, you know, with the amount that it can hold right now is always good, because then you won't have to do another one of these projects right away. So. I think that's
right. I mean, to be respected, like I said, as well. Yeah, we're trying to, you know, it's putting infrastructure in where there's already, you know, if it was a green field, it'd be easy to put this infrastructure mm-hmm. in, lay it out, there'd be no problems. But this is a very developed community, and we want to make sure we provide the best service we can without being too impactful.
Okay. Great. Well, that's all the questions I have about that. So I want to go ahead and shift gears a little bit.
No problem.
In some of my research and getting ready to come talk to you, I had found an article I found it in a couple places, from the Hayes Free Press News Dispatch, and then I also saw a link to it on the Wimberley View as well, in which you were talking about some of the houses that are currently either substandard, left over from the floods of 2015. And I just have a couple questions about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was about 3 years ago now. And there was a couple things in there that said that the city has received some complaints. It didn't say if they were recent or not, about these houses or buildings being abandoned. Are they? But then the quote from you was that they are currently not abandoned. So are we talking, are there both? Are there...
My understanding, the information we've received is that there were a number of homes that were significantly damaged during the Memorial 2015 flood. Council and administration at the time, to be courteous to those who had gone through a very significant and in many cases tragic event, didn't want to add insult to injury and say, okay, now you got to make these mm-hmm. repairs, because it takes time. It really does. Your whole life is completely turned upside down, and you're working day to day and not really focusing on rebuilding my house to the way it was. So they were very amenable to, okay, take the time you need. Mm-hmm. That was 3 years ago. Council in our discussions and in public meetings is like, okay, let's start to discuss these issues with these homeowners. I don't believe any of the homes currently are occupied.
Okay.
Just because it was flood damaged, and so mm-hmm. they've probably been stripped out. I've been shown areas of town where we want to make sure we're looking, but I haven't been told a specific address okay. to enforce. And when I say enforce, we're not looking to tear these houses down. We're not looking to force the homeowners to have to do anything they just can't possibly do. What we're doing is, how can you come into compliance? So it's a matter of working with the property owner, the homeowners. Here's the issues we're seeing, whether it's tall grass or junk or abandoned vehicles or just substandard structures. And here's how we can get you into compliance. The last thing we ever want to have to do is tell somebody they have to tear their house down. I don't believe any of the homes are in that condition. Other cities I've worked in, we've gone through the same thing. And as long as it's not a health hazard, it's not a very substandard home. I've worked in cities that were flooded in Ike, flooded in Memorial Day 2015, again in Hurricane Harvey, and it's okay. Get it to where it's not, you know, mold infested mm-hmm. or a health hazard, and then you can do with what you want to with it. You can leave it there. You can, as long as you follow our ordinances and keep it kept up, you know, here are your options. And so that's what we're looking to do here as well, is identify the homes that are getting near that violation of an ordinance or are there, and then working with those homeowners to see what we can do to get them into compliance.
Okay. Where could a homeowner who, you said there's some guidelines to get them into compliance, where could they find that information? Would that be something to call the city about? Is it on the website?
It's our code of ordinances is on the website. So that's mm-hmm. where we discuss what are considered nuisance violations, high weeds, those type of of incidents. But if you think you've got a concern, or if your neighbor, you think your neighbor has a concern, contact the city and we'll look into it, and we'll start that conversation with the homeowner. They can stop in here at 221 Stillwater, or they can give us a call, which is 512-847-0025.
Okay. Great.
Very rarely do I call myself.
I had to make a phone call the other day, and I left a message. I was like, you can call me back. And I started giving out the number, and about halfway through, I realized I was giving the person their own cell phone number.
Exactly.
I was like, I am so sorry about that. Sorry. So yes, I totally understand. Are there any resources available to those who may need help coming into into compliance? Is there somewhere people can go?
To my knowledge, there are no city funded resources. And if it's related to the Memorial Day flood, I'm not sure what resources are still available. Usually after a significant event like that, FEMA or the Texas Department of Emergency Management has grant programs or applications that they can submit. We have a few who have submitted and we're working through those now for mitigation efforts or buyout programs. I don't know that those are still open, but their best bet would be to check with Hays County to see if there's any opportunities there. FEMA or the Texas Department of Emergency Management. Those would be how the funding sources are funneled to the city for emergencies things.
Awesome. That's really about all I had on that as well. One other thing that I had wanted to ask about it, sorry, I'm surprising you with this.
No, not a problem.
Was the hotel occupancy tax. Mm-hmm. I know that's going into effect here pretty soon.
Yes.
Not already. How is that going to, and I did also notice on the website that you guys were asking for ideas on how that money could be used. Was that correct in that, or did I misread that?
So what the city is asking for is if you have an event or an idea, or if you're an individual, a group, or any type of organization who has an idea that they think hot funds can be expended on, make that application, and our hot committee will be happy to review that. Hot funds or hotel occupancy tax funds are anybody that stays at any hotel in the state of Texas. There is a hotel occupancy tax. Oftentimes there's a state or county in addition to a city. The city's tax is 5% of the rate. Now that's not made up of the incidentals that you may come with a hotel stay, but it's based on the base rate and any other fees associated with the actual stay. And so the state of Texas, I think it's chapter 351 of the local government code, outlines what municipalities can use that money for. And it's very strict. They call it the Texas two-step, I think is what TML, Texas Municipal League, designated it as. You have to meet two criteria. You have to, for lack of a better term, put heads in beds, and it has to fall under, and secondly, it has to fall under one of nine categories. And we've got that information on our website as well. I've looked at all of those categories. I'm not going to pretend to be able to name them right now, but it's, you know, there are uses for advertising, tourism, there's funding for arts, convention centers, visitors bureaus, advertising for events. And so if a group or individual or an organization has an idea and they think they would like to apply for hot funds, contact the city. We'll help walk through the application process. And if it's a good event and that the committee likes, they'll send it to council with a recommendation, and then we'll take it from there.
Awesome.
One of the things I've learned in my short tenure here in 2 months is this is a very active and involved community, which is great. You've got dedicated residents, business owners, visitors who are focused on, you know, bettering Wimberley in whichever way they can. And so Wimberley's got a natural draw to itself. It's always been a place people have visited. We're just looking to continue to promote that and maybe reach those people who have somehow not found out about Wimberley. And so we want to make sure that we advertise what we've got to offer and the experiences you can have. It's quiet. At night, it's wonderfully peaceful, but you've got a creek and river and all kinds of great restaurants and shops. And we're just looking to promote that and promote events that tell people all about Wimberley.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
No,
and
no
I'm
problem.
Sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Windows into Wimberley. As always, we are here to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. If there is something happening that you'd like to know more about, or if you have topics or suggestions for the show, please contact COWO General Manager Ryan Hsu at 512-965-9969. Join me next time right here on COWO 104.1 FM for another look into the windows into Wimberley.